Oh, it's so good to be back home with you. My wife and I were in North Carolina, where Donette lives, and we were celebrating a 100-year anniversary of the church that we pastored while we were out there. And it was a real privilege. But I was sad because I missed my first Father's Day in 46 years of ministry. And I celebrated with people there, but you're the people I hang out with. And so I want to wish every man here, every gentleman here, happy Father's Day. And men, you are so vital to the kingdom of God. And I just want to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I overwhelm this house with an anointing of God that says we are in agreement with every man, every father, and we proclaim a blessing over them, wisdom, insight, in doing the things that you've called them to do as fathers and as men. And I give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, that was in my notes, and so I was going to introduce my daughter and two sister-in-laws. I guess you could say sister-in-laws, and they are awesome. I love them dearly. They are really family. But I want to begin by telling you, I like the story of a double-decker bus in Europe. On the side of the bus is this big sign. It says, "Eggs and Bacon, the Great British Breakfast." So the bus, while they were driving it, went past a field, and in the field there was a chicken and a pig. And the chicken turned to the pig and said, "Look, we're famous. Look, eggs and bacon, the Great British Breakfast." And the pig turned around to the chicken and said, "Yeah, it's all right with you." The pig turned and said, "You only have to make a contribution. But for me, it cost me my life." Now, I want you to understand that in my message today, I want you to think through in what I just explained to you. Is the chicken made a contribution? God doesn't want a contribution from us. He wants our life. He wants everything about us. Every decision, everything that we do. And so as we dive into the series that we began a few weeks ago called More Than Words, I want to say to you, I think regarding the Bible, the Word of God, I think in our world, we have malnourished, dehydrated, and oxygen-depleted Christians in our world. They're not eating their bread. They're not drinking their water. And they're not breathing in the breath of God. Now, as I continue here, I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Ezekiel 37. And we're in this series called More Than Words, talking about the Bible, the importance of Scripture in your life and in mine. So we talked about bread on the first week. The Bible is our nourishment. The Bible is nourishing, and we must sustain our life from the Word of God daily because it's called food. We talked about water. Last time together, Jesus said that you'll never thirst again if you allow the water of the Word of God to manifest in your life. And today we're going to talk about breath. The Bible is the breath of God. So the Bible is like food, the Bible is like water, and the Bible is like air. Science tells us, and I brought this out last time together. By the way, thank you, Pastor Ryan, and all the leaders last week. And I watched it, and it was wonderful. How long can you go out without food. And we talked about 40 to 80 days. I went back over it, and I misquoted a couple of weeks ago by memory, but actually you go without water from 4 to 14 days. So my question to you today is, how long can you go without air? We're talking about the Word of God, and the Word of God depicts the Bible as the breath of God. So, not very long. Now, again, I think we have malnourished, dehydrated, and oxygen-depleted Christians. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you why I use the term breath of God. You will find it in Scripture, but we're going to dive into this, and I'm going to explain it to you, and I think you're really going to enjoy this. And my end result is to encourage you to fall in love or fall back in love with the Word of God. Because life's journey today, what goes on today, has created a culture, a society that everything has to be even quicker than it was when I was younger. And it's a society that we don't spend that time digging into the Word. We just, you know, ask Google what it means. And I want to tell you, sometimes Google is wrong. So let me show you why I call it the breath of God. In 2 Timothy, stay in Ezekiel, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture, notice right away, you know me, I really watch words. It says all Scripture, not some, but all Scripture. The next five words are translated from one word. Given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Greek word is theos neustos, two words into one. Theos is God, pneuma, which means breath, so or neustos means breathed. So the word theos neustos means God breathed. So the Word of God, the Bible, is God breathed. In the NIV translation, it actually says, because there are many translations, we'll talk about that, we'll touch on that, we won't teach on that, but all Scripture, it says, all Scripture is God breathed. Now, the word pneuma, let's just say a few more things about that so you understand where I'm coming from in this introduction. We have words in the English language with the word pneumonia. You have trouble breathing with pneumonia. Or pneumatic means it is powered by air. A drill is powered by air. So here's what we need to know in this is all Scripture is breathed by God. That is what we call the inspiration of Scripture. So I'm bringing out all these terminologies that you hear in church or if you listen to things on blogs. The word inspired literally means to breathe in. So follow me with this. Inspired has a secondary meaning, to breathe an idea or to breathe in a motivation that you see, experience something that brings a motivation, or to do something into a person. So this is something that's an action that happens in you. So the Word of God is breathed and it has action in you. When you read the Scripture, action automatically takes place without you even thinking of anything to happen, because it is breathed by God. So the literal word inspired means to breathe in. So when we talk about the inspirational or the expiration of Scripture, because God is eternal, every time you're in the Bible, there's an eternal aspect for your life. It is something that will produce, because it's breathed in, it'll produce something that is everlasting. The Word of God is everlasting in your life. When you read the Word of God, especially when you begin to understand what I'm teaching you in this series, is you will experience change in your life. The word that Pastor Dan gave. And you're going to hear this terminology today and next week. So God breathed His Word into men, and those men wrote Scripture. God not only inspired Scripture by breathing in the Word to those who wrote it, He expired His Word, which means to breathe it out, to breathe it into man. So it is an action by God that's eternal. When you are studying the Word of God, you're reading the Word of God, it is an eternal thing of God continually breathing His knowledge, His wisdom, His insight, His power into your life. And that's how important the Word of God is to us. Because what happens in our lives, my life too, is I have to battle the busyness of life and not allowing the inspired Word of God to continue to rule my life by making it so important that it's a daily thing. Remember, we talked about food, that how long do you go without food, without literally dying? We talked about spiritual, how do you go without the Bible, without dying spiritually? I'm not talking, you're not going to heaven, but I'm talking about not having the anointing and the power of God working in your life. People ask questions all the time. Why is this happening in my life? And I would like to tell you, if you continue on a daily basis getting in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, through the Word, will show you the directives and the reasons for everything in your life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Knowing this first, again, I like words, finding a certain word, and it's really the writer trying to get into the heart of the writer. What is Peter trying to tell me? Knowing this first, saying, please put this first. Put Scripture first because it will change your life. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Remember the last time we were together. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, God breathing out an end to mankind, and then they from there were inspired to write. In other words, God, the Holy Spirit, breathed out, expired the Word of God, and breathed it into men, and then they wrote, being inspired or filled with, watch this, the breath of God. Now, what this will do, when we started this series, remember I talked about inerrancy. Inerrancy is that the Bible has no errors. Well, how many of you have listened, heard, had conversation with people that people say, well, you know, I don't study the Bible because there's errors in the Bible? All right, I'm going to answer in a very unique way to give you an answer of that. I am telling you that there are no errors in Scripture. Because if it came from the mouth of God, it cannot have errors. So if you deny the inerrancy of Scripture, you also have to deny the inspiration of Scripture, because you can't have both ways. So where I'm going here is, you can't say it came out of the mouth of God, but it has errors. But brother so-and-so says this. Now just listen to my explanation. Because God is perfect, and He can't err, So you cannot deny both. Here's another way of saying it. If you believe God breathed the word, but it has errors, then we think that we can pick or choose what is right or wrong for me to live out in our life. And then with that, then if I think that way, then I actually is saying, I'm God of my life. I'm the one that chooses what's right or wrong. Because that is the ploy of the enemy for decades that I've watched, 46 years of ministry, and how people have tried to culturally wrap the Bible around their thinking and stopping in their mindset and their study mindset of saying, this is God-breathed. Scripture has no errors. So, matter of fact, people, I believe, need to be fearful for their life because they're judging Scripture because Scripture judges them. So the Bible, according to the Scripture, says holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. So I love going out, working out, playing golf, all the different things that I do outside the church, and because I get to meet people. And when they find out who I am, what I do for a living, then they want to ask me questions. And so I experience a lot, so I've studied a lot so I can have better answers for people. The question is, addressing the inerrancy of Scripture, and the people are sincere when they ask. So when I talk to you about this, and people are not understanding, and then I give an answer, I'm not saying that they're bad people. I'm not saying they're not sincere, because they're really trying to understand, and they're really trying to grow in their walk with God. And they struggle with church. They struggle with translations of Bibles. They struggle with, is the Bible all true? Or, you know, who put it together? King James, all the different things. All the questions, by the way, OSL, we answer all that in a doctrinal way. But here's what I want to show you. The topic, I believe, in the inerrancy of Scripture is entirely free from error. I believe Scripture. So then they automatically, you've probably experienced it, what version do you use? A lot of people ask me, what version do you teach from? Last time together, I gave you the different types of translations. But it doesn't matter because inerrancy doesn't refer to translation. I'll say that again. Stay with me, all right? Because I'm getting just a little bit deep here. Inerrancy, in other words, no errors of Scripture, doesn't refer to a translation. Inerrancy refers to the original language. Then we translate it in different languages. Many in the world think English will be spoken in heaven. I said this the first week. Well, what about Japanese? German? Klaus? Mandarin? Okay, I know. Spanish? Yeah, okay, yay. Inerrancy always refers to the original documents and the inspired by God, the handwritten Scripture in Hebrew and in Greek. Now, back to the question, what version are you using? Because there is no doubt that some versions contain errors. All right? But let me tell you something about the Word of God. I want you just to sit and listen to this. I wrote a lot here. We are born again by the Word of God. not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever, the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word will never pass away. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Word of God will stand forever. The angels, mighty in strength, watch over the Word to perform that Word that was spoken by God. The Word will never return void, but will accomplish that which God wants it to accomplish. This is all Scripture. The Word is light to those who find it and health to their whole body. It's sweeter than honey and purer than gold. The Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides the soul and spirit. Church family, the Word of God stands forever. Break that syndrome of church and begin to move into that, because every time you open up this book, it will inspire you, it will move, it will do things that God has planned for it to do in your life. It is a seed that is planted in you. It will overwhelm you. It will change things in your life. It will change your marriage. It will change your relationships. It will change your finances. It will change your body. Health will arise. The Word was sent to bring healing. Every area of your life, it's the Word of God. Fall in love with the Word of God again. Allow it to be real to you. Now, I can't make you believe in God. Many of you watching online, and we have hundreds and hundreds watching online. Matter of fact, the only way to be saved is by grace through faith. You're going to have faith to believe in God and receive Him to go to heaven. You're going to have to choose. I can't make you believe that the Bible doesn't have errors. I can't make you believe that it's the Word of God. But I'll tell you, once you believe in God, your life is going to change. Here's that word. Once you believe the Bible is God's Word, your life will absolutely be transformed. You then will have a standard, and that standard will bring life. Let me just touch on that. People struggle with identity and life because there's no standard. My standard is the Word of God. I know Bible colleges and seminaries that Scripture is not the standard. They teach Scripture, but it's not the standard. Education is a standard. And I rebuke that in Jesus' name. That was my introduction. Here we go. Ezekiel 37, are you there? We're going to read this quick because I'm going to give you 4 points and I'll be short with the points. Ezekiel 37 is a strange scripture. I know Pastor Ryan taught on this quite a while ago, and I'm not going to teach on it, but I'm going to show you in regarding the breath of God, the Word of God, the power, how it changes things in your life. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Please notice bones. They weren't skeletons, but bones unattached. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Let me say it this way. I don't know. You know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of God. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear God breathed the word of God. Notice the power when God speaks. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you. Word. And you shall live. Thus says the Lord God, church family, I will cause breath, the word of God, to bring life to that situation that you think is dead. Are you following this? I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. This is when they became skeletons. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh, or put skin on it, came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. So the word of God brought life. So let me give you the 4 points. First one, the breath of God brings understanding. Anybody struggling with what to do? Verse 3, Ezekiel 37, he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. My point, if you're going to judge the Bible, whether you can understand it or not, I feel sorry for people. They don't read the Bible because it's hard to understand. There are things you won't understand. There are things in your life. There are things that I didn't understand. It took me 10 years, 15 years, and the Holy Spirit bringing me revelation. There are things you won't understand, but you believe it by faith. God is saying to Ezekiel, is this logically possible for what is about to happen? And Ezekiel answered, I don't have a clue. Some of you don't have a clue in what to do. And I'm a poet and didn't know it. Some of you don't have a clue. But I'm telling you, it's God-breathed word that will give you that clue. But he said, but God, you know. Can a man walk on water? I don't know, but you know, God. Or how can a man walk on water? How did Jesus do that? How did Peter do that? I don't know either. But I know if you want me to, I can. Faith. Job 32, verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. God has said, fall in love with what I've said, and I will give you understanding. I will show you the next step. I will show you why. How many of you, if you're a little bit older, have experienced situations in your life that you didn't know why something happened? 10, 15, 20, 30 years later, you realized why. I'm just trying to challenge you. Love the Word of God, and I believe it'll happen sooner, that you will understand. The wise in the house. Parents, get in the Word of God. You have a question regarding your children, He'll give you insight in the decisions to make. Some of you grandparents that are watching things fall apart, maybe some of your children's children, and you're broken about it, get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Begin to pray the Word of God. Allow the Word. Speak that Word, Ezekiel. Speak that Word. And watch the Word of God that you speak, because you're speaking out of understanding that the Word of God is truth, and it will do what it was said it will do, and it will perform all things, and it will change your grandchildren. And they don't know what happened, but Grandma prayed, but Papa prayed. That's what you do. That's what you do. From the time my grandchildren, my children, my grandchildren were just born, the moment I grabbed them, I began to pray in tongues and pray the Word of God over them. And I began to proclaim the success of God's plan in their life, and nothing will hinder it. Nothing. They will have challenges. They will have tribulations. They will have to make decisions. But I understand what I'm trying to tell you. The Bible is truth, and what it says, it will take place. Amen. How many times you made this statement? I wish I could just understand what I was going through. If I could just understand what God is teaching me right now. Teaching? It's God's Word. It's His breath that gives you the answer. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3, live with your wives with understanding. Men, you will never understand your wife. Or ladies, you will never understand your husband until you fall in love with Scripture. And when you fall in love with Scripture, you will get understanding in your relationships. Amen. So read the owner's manual from the manufacturer. Here's my second point. The breath of God brings order. Scripture brings order into your life. Ezekiel 37, 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Some of you say, well, I've had surgery because I was bone to bone. The bones became skeletons by the breath of God. Ezekiel spoke God's word, and order came to the chaos. Some of us have been living with chaos a long time. Some of you watching online, you don't know anything but chaos in your life. Seems like things get better, then it gets worse. Gets better, then it gets worse. Fall in love with the Word of God. The Word of God will begin to bring order in every area of your life. Psalm 33, verse 6 says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of God's mouth. Genesis 1, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, here's a question. Why did something come into being or order manifest? Because God spoke it out and breathed it out. God knows your beginning, your in-between, and your future. And He's already spoken out in this book, health to every area of your life. So we must dive into it. So the breath of God brings order to chaos called the Word of God. Here's a third. The breath of God brings strength. Ezekiel 37, 6, I will put sinews on you. Indeed, as I looked, verse 8, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. So a sinew is the tendon that connects the muscle to the bone. Now, in the last point, God brought structure to your life but you also need the power of God. It's the Word of God that connects you to His power. The Bible tells us this. Watch this. The Father is looking for those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. When you combine reading this word, but I don't understand it, read it. The Father is looking for those who worship Him in spirit and truth. And when you combine reading this word with receiving the Holy Spirit, you're going to walk in the power of God. See, right after Israel crossed the Red Sea, and they sang a song. It's called the Song of Moses. I believe that Miriam wrote the song, in my opinion. Exodus 15, verse 8. Watch what it says. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. But you blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Would you like to know how God parted the Red Sea? Breath. Then he blew again, and he covered the enemy. It's the Word of God. Oh, I've walked many a times in this sanctuary, in my office, and I wasn't praying. I was just proclaiming the Word of God. And then after about 3 minutes of reading the Word of God, then I would say, because your Word of God, the Word is true. It is truth. And then I do it again. And I read stuff still in the Bible. I go, what in the world is that saying? Sometimes I'm calling Pastor Ryan or Pastor Dan and saying, hey, have you ever studied this? What's this mean? What's this Greek word? What's that? And many people that I'll ask, because I'm like Ezekiel. I don't know. Right. Okay. See, it's eternal word. There's so much in this word, but the Word of God has power. So here's the fourth. The breath of God brings life. Ezekiel 37:10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. So when you read this book, I'm going to simplify it now. You can write this down. When you read this book, you get understanding. When you read this book, your life then gets in order. Right now you're facing chaos. You've been planning something for a long time, and boom, something takes place. And your brain and your mind, and you're saying, what am I going to do? I had all these plans. Get in the Word of God. It brings order. When you read this book, you get the power of God in your life. Anytime the enemy comes in, like a flood, God will raise up a standard. Because the standard is the Word of God. It's who you are. Your DNA, your identity is the Word. Who you are. And that's what the enemy has tried to do. Take, you know, Bible, take prayer, take whatever out of school, out of work, out of, you know, you can't talk about Jesus at work, you can't do this, you can't do that, unless someone asks you. And even if they ask you, someone wants to sue you. It's all about getting the Word out of you. So the third point there again, is you get the power of God in your life. And last, when you read this book, you get life itself being filled with the breath of God. Job 33:4 says, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Last thing I'm going to say, and then we'll dive in next week. For 46 years, the main thing that I can do as your pastor, I've said this before, is feed people the Word of God. Spend most of my time in the Scripture, studying to teach you the Word of God. I love, and see, don't go extreme on me, all right? Everyone watching on TV, too. Don't go extreme on me. I love visiting people. I had a wedding yesterday. It was all day. It was here at the church in the morning, and then left about, I think, 3 or 3:30, quarter four, and I went and visited someone in our church because they were on my heart. I was out of town. They were on my heart, and I went and visited them, and then I went home, and I just want you to understand is I love going to hospitals. I love doing the different things, being involved in all, but my main focus, church, is to help you fall in love with the Word of God. That's it. And I have worked hard of creating my time frame of everything I'm to do, from Sabbath to working out to eating to whatever meetings, different things, is that I spend time in the Word of God because I believe the Word of God has no errors. And it transforms every one of our lives. It's the answer for us. So let's all stand. I am so proud of what I'm experiencing with so many of you outside the four walls. Invite people to church. Lead people to the Lord. Go the extra mile for your neighbor. Not because you're trying to prove anything, because of who you are. But before you go see your neighbor, read a chapter in the Bible. Before you go to work, quote Scripture. Allow Scripture to be your morning, your afternoon. I have in the past 20-some years, if I eat breakfast, I make sure that I'm quoting Scripture. If I have lunch, I make sure I'm quoting Scripture. If I have dinner, I'm quoting Scripture. If I go get a snack, I'm quoting Scripture. I don't do it out loud. I don't talk to, you know. I just do it because it brings life to me. Because it's food. It's water. And it's air. Everything that you and I need to live. So I want to be spiritually alive. Thank you for allowing me to dedicate your beautiful son. What a joy. I it's one of my favorite things to just stand off to the side. And some of you saw me. I'm tickling his foot. I'm, you know, doing different, because I love that. Can you imagine that age? And all the years ahead of him to do kingdom work and to have you, spiritual moms and dads, brothers and sisters, encouraging him to be everything God's called him to be. That's what it's about. Being a neighbor, being a co-worker. Be ready. Be ready to love on people. Not because that's what you're supposed to do, but because the Word of God has inspired you to be that. Because my life is not about me anymore. I've given my life over to him. Whatever he asks me to do, I will do. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ. Today's the day. believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. All the church homes that are watching now, if any of you are there and you do not know Jesus, talk to your host and let them know that you want to receive Christ, and they'll help you with that. Can I pray for you? Father, thank you for the anointed word of God. Holy Spirit, remind us every single morning, afternoon, and evening, in the middle of the night, that your word is truth, that it will transform us in the four areas we talked about. Blessings upon this house. Blessings upon all that is done in this house. As we gather together, the Spanish church with Pastor Angel, I pray a blessing and anointing over Pastor Angel. As the church congregation comes in, our brothers and sisters, and they are overwhelmed with the truth of the Word of God. Continue to bring health to Pastor Angel and Lourdes, and give Lourdes such strength as she takes care of her mom. Blessings upon this evening as we gather together at 6 o'clock, from the youth to the children to the adults, Lord. Allow your work to be done. And I'll say it without errors. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Great to be with you. See you soon.